Listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is actually a very special White Noise. It is our part three of the best of, because basically about every 10 episodes we do a best of where we take the best of the last 10 episodes and we stick it into one easy, digestible little wholesome amount for you. So I hope you enjoy tonight. And of course, as always, we will be followed up by the White Noise After Show, this week hosted by myself, and joined by special guest Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley, who are both, of course, actors on the show. But without further ado, I think it's time for some White Noise. The following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening, and welcome to another evening of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and this show is brought to you in part by Scientology, a religion so new, we all know it's bollocks. Next up tonight, somebody needs a little group therapy.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got a new member in our group today. This is Ken. Introduce yourself, Ken.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ken, and I'm 34, and I recently came to terms with the fact that I am an asshole.
And what makes you realize this, Ken?
Well, I hit rock bottom last week when I was walking downtown and a man fell off his bike in a crowded street and I started laughing hysterically. I was the only one.
We've all been there. What else have you done?
Well, whenever I eat fast food, I take 6 napkins. Who needs 6?
I see.
It gets worse. I haven't recycled since 1997.
Ken, you seem to be on the asshole spectrum, but not at the severe end of being a piece of shit. I think you qualify perhaps as just a bit of a dick.
No, I'm an asshole. I put cartons back in fridges empty. I never replace the toilet roll. I don't even think of my order before I get to the front of a lineup.
We feel your pain, Ken, but these people have real problems. John over there hasn't used a coaster since 1983. Dylan has been blaming his farts on his children since they were born. Dana over there owns 8 dogs, and she never once picked up their shit on walks.
I don't like how it's all warm.
Oh, I had no idea.
This is good, though. You're one of the treatable ones. Most of these people are here due to a court mandate. You came here willingly.
Well, I mainly came here for the free coffee and donuts.
Everyone is a bit of a dick sometimes. Just make sure no one notices. Next up tonight, a man needs to make a purchase.
Hi there. Welcome to 11-7. How can I help?
Hi. Can I have 2 packs of extra small condoms? 1 bottle of lube for him. Yeah. That magazine on the top shelf there.
You mean Reader's Wives?
No, the next one over. Reader's Husbands. Yeah. And, I'll also take a bottle of that hemorrhoid cream and a packet of anal beads, please.
Anything else?
Yeah. Actually, do you guys have batteries?
What kind?
I think AAA. AAA, I think.
Aren't they the smaller ones?
Well, if you're going to be a dick about it, just forget it. I mean, it's too embarrassing as it is.
Next up tonight, we return to Family Feudal.
From the people who brought you Rash Cab, Who Wants to Be a Miniature Bear, and Rustamind, it's time for a brand new episode of Family Feudal. And here is your host, Lord All the Money.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Family Feudal, the reality show where families must live as peasants in feudal England. It's a bit like being in the third world, but the weather is shit. This week, our contestants took part in a witch trial. Let's see how they got on. The O'Neills were up first. That's parents Eric and Karen, but without their daughter Precious, who was, of course, hung for pickpocketing last week. And serves her right. Let's listen in on the action.
I swear I'm not a witch.
Liar!
Look at that nose. It's a witch's nose.
No, I broke it playing field hockey, I swear.
I saw her disagreeing with her husband yesterday.
Witch!
Witch!
And she doesn't have any kids.
I had one.
One? What use is that?
Eric, save me!
It's okay, honey. I'm sure the TV people won't let anything happen to you.
Burn her!
Isn't there any other tests you could do?
Yes, but they aren't as fun. Burn her!
Things are not looking good for Karen. What are your thoughts on the situation, Eric?
Well, it's not an ideal situation, but it's still preferable to not be on television.
Honey, they're lighting the fire!
You're doing great, babe.
Well, I think we all know how this ends, so let's see how the Aldermans are getting on. The Aldermans, who currently consist of Mother Patricia and her one remaining, no longer conjoined twin, Liam, let's see how they got on.
Please listen, I'm not a witch. I'm just a poor single mother.
Witches are poor.
I'm not a witch. I'm just a crab farmer.
Where is your husband?
He died.
I bet she ate him.
Witch!
Witch!
No, I swear. Tell them, Liam.
He's a man. Let's listen to him.
But I'm only 14.
That makes you a man here, boy. I mean, man.
Tell them Mummy isn't a witch, darling.
What will you do with my mum if she's a witch?
Burn her! Or drown her! Whatever takes her fancy, really.
But won't that kill her?
That is the general idea.
So how can you tell if she's a witch?
Is she controlling? Demanding? Poor? Single? And does she go against the Christian Bible?
Oh, well, yeah, Mum's an atheist, so big tick there. Yeah, you better burn her.
Yay!
Honey, no!
So
Serves you right. That'll teach you for making me have a bedtime.
Oh dear, things are starting to look like Burning Man out here. Except everyone is slightly less dirty. Looks like this week is a draw. Nobody gets the prize of a week's worth of food and water. I hope they like the taste of pond scum. That's all the time we have for this week. Join us again for another installment of Family Feudal.
I think my grandma was a witch. She was always cackling, though that might have just been the booze. Next up tonight, Elvis is back.
Good evening, Elvis. This week, we are pairing you with our Russian undercover spy, Grigory Rasputin.
Who the hell is that?
Rasputin was confidant to the Russian Tsar before he fell from power in 1917. Since then, he's been fighting Russian communism as a United States spy.
Huh. Is he any good?
One of the best. He's completed 18 assassinations, 14 intel reconnaissance missions, and he was the one who stole Tetris for us.
Anything else I should know?
Apparently he has a massive dong.
Right on.
Your mission will be to work together to penetrate the defenses of Vladimir Putin's residence and steal a precious item.
What's the item?
His miniature Pomeranian, Fufu.
You want me to steal a dog?
Absolutely. His removal could destabilize Russia. Our intel reveals Putin can't sleep without his Fufu. It could completely ruin his bedtime and bring down his entire oligarchy.
Time to close some puppy dog eyes.
Rasputin, meet Elvis Presley.
Hello, so good to meet you finally, Mr. Presley. I am big fan.
You like my music?
Do I like it? I have named 12 illegitimate children after you. Moscow is full of little Elvises and Ellies.
Right on.
All right, guys, we are near the drop zone. You guys today are in a tandem jump because otherwise Elvis might kill himself.
That was one time.
Clear to drop.
Go, go, go!
Hallelujah!
Party time!
I think that's the house. Over there.
Yes, I see it. The one with a Putin's face painted on the roof.
Nah, man. One next to it, with the mural of him with his shirt off.
Ah, of course.
Aim for the roof.
KK, pulling the cord.
Oh, that always smites.
Oh, tell me about it. It gets me excited to hot a rush.
Yeah, well, I just hope that's your flashlight I can feel in my back. So how the hell do we get in? It's like Fort Knox, man.
There is actually probably more gold in here than Fort Knox. Except here, it has been shaped into tacky shit.
Sounds like my kind of place, man. So how do we get in?
Here we go. Someone left the fire door propped open.
Well, it's true what they say. Smoking does kill you.
Putin's private quarters should be somewhere over here, between the 18-lane bowling alley and the all-you-can-eat Sunday bar.
I have got to get to know this guy.
Ah, yes. Down here.
Oh, someone's coming.
Leave it to me.
Da?
I said leave it to me!
Relax, man. Another guard is bound to come. I made way too much noise. You can have that one. Kotam?
Mine.
Ah! Damn, you got some moves, my friend.
You live to be 146? You learn a thing or two.
Now, this is some digs, man. Hey, look, he's got a stuffed-shaped monkey over here.
That's the body of Lenin.
Weird, man. I met him once. He did not look like this. This looks more like Ringo.
Could you look for the dog, please?
All right. Here, Fufu. Dinner time. I have some tasty lead for you.
Here it is. Quick, grab the bag. I will stuff it in. Come here, you little... Oh, it caught me. Help, Elvis.
What?
It caught my family jewels.
All right, let me shoot it.
Don't shoot anywhere near my crook. Just punch it.
I can't punch a dog. I could shoot it, but I ain't gonna punch it. I'm not a thug.
Get off me, you furry demon!
What the guard?
Oh, crap.
Excuse me, old man. Why are you molesting my dog?
Ah, well, you see, Mr. Putin, me and Elvis here.
Who?
My associate, Elvis Presley, who's... What? Where the fuck did he go?
Unlucky Rasputin. Let's hope for your sake you live up to your reputation for the evasion of your own mortality. Next up tonight, we return to Family Feudal.
From the people who brought you Rash Cab, Who Wants to Be a Miniature Bear, and Rustamind, it's time for a brand new episode of Family Feudal. And here is your host, Lord All the Money.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Family Feudal, the reality show where families must live as peasants in feudal England. It's a bit like being in the third world, but the weather is shit. This week, our contestants took part in a witch trial. Let's see how they got on. The O'Neills were up first. That's parents Eric and Karen, but without their daughter Precious, who was, of course, hung for pickpocketing last week. And serves her right. Let's listen in on the action.
I swear I'm not a witch.
Liar!
Look at that nose. It's a witch's nose.
No, I broke it playing field hockey, I swear.
I saw her disagreeing with her husband yesterday.
Witch!
Witch!
And she doesn't have any kids.
I had one.
One? What use is that?
Eric, save me!
It's okay, honey. I'm sure the TV people won't let anything happen to you.
Ban her!
Ban her!
Ban her!
Isn't there any other tests you could do?
Yes, but they aren't as fun. Burn her!
Things are not looking good for Karen. What are your thoughts on the situation, Eric?
Well, it's not an ideal situation, but it's still preferable to not be on television.
Honey, they're lighting the fire!
You're doing great, babe.
Well, I think we all know how this ends, so let's see how the Aldermans are getting on. The Aldermans, who currently consist of Mother Patricia and her one remaining, no longer conjoined twin, Liam, let's see how they got on.
Please listen, I'm not a witch. I'm just a poor single mother.
Witches are poor.
I'm not a witch. I'm just a crap farmer.
Where is your husband?
He died.
I bet she ate him.
Witch!
No, I swear. Tell him, Liam.
He's a man. Let's listen to him.
But I'm only 14.
That makes you a man here, boy. I mean, man.
Tell them Mummy isn't a witch, darling.
What will you do with my mum if she's a witch?
Burn her! Or drown her! Whatever takes her fancy, really.
But won't that kill her?
That is the general idea.
So how can you tell if she's a witch?
Is she controlling, demanding, poor, single? And does she go against the Christian Bible?
Oh, well, yeah, Mum's an atheist, so big tick there. Yeah, you better burn her.
Yay!
Honey, no!
Serves you right. That'll teach you for making me have a bedtime.
Oh dear, things are starting to look like Burning Man out here. Except everyone is slightly less dirty. Looks like this week is a draw. Nobody gets the prize of a week's worth of food and water. I hope they like the taste of pond scum. That's all the time we have for this week. Join us again for another installment of Family Feudal.
I think my grandma was a witch. She was always cackling, though that might have just been the booze. We didn't have career guidance counsellors when I was a kid. It was much cheaper to just have regular teachers tell us that we'd never amount to anything. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back. All right, Carl, I've got a plan. We're going to do some gold digging.
You mean marry a rich older woman?
No. Actually, yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
So, where do we find one?
I found this awesome website with loads of them called plentyofflesh.com.
Oh, I've been there. So I found my second grandma. Any luck?
Yeah, I think I found one.
What's she like?
Short, round, hairy and bad-tempered.
Ooh, just my type.
One catch, though.
Oh, there always is. No one is that perfect.
She wants to see both of us.
Like a menage a trois?
With us, it'd be more like a menage a twat.
This place looks a bit too classy for us, Neil.
Oh, don't worry, she's paying. Just relax, mate.
How do I look?
Terrible, but that's nothing new.
How's my breath?
Oh, Jesus, Carl, that makes my eyes burn.
Seriously, this place is so swanky.
Shut up, man. We're next.
Good evening and welcome to Olive Garden. Is it a party of two?
No, we're meeting a Ms. Ursula Dusty Baps. Is she seated already?
Yes, in the corner by the toilets.
Oh, wow. Prime seating, Neil.
Such a short walk to the box.
Ursula must be a very important customer.
Hello, boys.
Good evening, Miss Dusty Baps. What a pleasure to meet you.
Did you bring protection?
I brought a knife.
No, I mean a prophylactic.
Oh, do you have indigestion?
She means a condom, Carl.
Oh, no, I didn't. I figured I could share needles.
Not to worry. I have a female condom. It's basically a garbage bag you stick in your vagina. So, tell me more about yourselves. You said online you were entrepreneurs.
No, we're not. We're British.
Ignore my friend's little joke. Yes, we are self-employed businessmen.
And what do you sell?
Well, anything we can nick, mainly.
Carl, he's pulling your leg, Ursula.
It's okay. I like a bad boy or two.
Well, they don't come better than us. Oh, I haven't done the dishes in weeks. My mum is so pissed.
Carl, enough with the jokes.
Neil, please stop crushing my balls.
Are we starting on the foreplay already?
Not quite. I need a drink first. A really big one. Excuse me?
Yeah?
Could I order a drink, please?
What?
Could I order a drink, please?
No, what do you want?
Oh, a Ryan Coke.
Single or double?
Triple.
And your friend?
A pina colada, please.
You mean a pina colada?
Nah, it's like a pina colada, only it's made in prison.
One last thing. Could you guys not grope each other under the table? It's putting people off their food.
So are you boys ready to make a move? Over and over again?
Maybe one more whiskey and rye.
You've had eight.
Just one more.
I thought you guys were DTF.
What's DTF?
Desperate to fornicate.
Oh, we are.
You too, Neil?
Yeah, with the lights off. Do you have any of those old people sedatives?
Sedatives? No, but I have some stool softeners.
I can't believe we're going through with this.
Ah, chill out, Neil. It's not the first time we've seen each other naked.
Yeah, but this is the first time there's a woman here.
Oh, boys, I'm ready for you.
You ready, Neil?
Mint for breath? Check. Deodorant? Check. Snorkel? Check.
Well, here goes. My dignity. Oh, Jesus. That was incredible. I've never seen such hedonistic depravity. Ursula, you're a genius. A sexual Da Vinci.
Neil.
There should be sonnets of your...
Neil.
What? I really don't want to look at you.
I think she's dead.
What? Oh, shit.
Do we still get our money?
Next up tonight, men are on the prowl.
Hey, baby. Let me buy you a drink.
Okay, sure.
Two double whiskeys, my good man. And what would you like?
Just a lager, please.
A lager for the lady, my good man.
That's a woman.
Well, if she doesn't wear any makeup, what does she expect? So, what do you do?
I'm a student.
Let me guess. Human kinetics?
No.
Drama?
No.
Psych?
No.
Well, those are all the hot girl subjects. What then?
Engineering.
No! Get out!
Yeah? You got a problem with that?
Oh, no. Each to their own. It's just a lifestyle choice I don't agree with.
Oh, yeah? What do you do?
Well, my job is merely to support my real passion.
And what's your real passion?
I am a prestige level 10.
A what?
Black Ops!
You're a soldier?
Oh, yes. Online, of course. I also hold the touchdown record on my copy of Madden 15.
You mean in a game?
Yes, but I'm talking legendary mode. No amateurs here. I wear gloves to play.
Well, here's my hidden talent. See ya.
But you haven't given me your number yet. Come on, I completed Bloodborne in 2 days.
Did you say Bloodborne in 2 days?
Yeah, that's right. No walkthroughs. No forums.
That's hot.
I play to 100% completion every time. every item, every unlockable, every last inch of the map. I've won the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, the Heisman Trophy, the Champions League, and even the Masters.
Take me here.
Next up tonight, a man is shopping.
Afternoon, sir. Welcome to Spectacles, Testicles, Wallet and Watch. How may I help you?
I'm looking for a pair of glasses, please.
Excellent. Do you have your prescription?
Oh, no. Sorry, I don't need lenses. I'm not a loser. I just want some frames with normal glass.
So you don't need glasses?
No, I just want to look smarter, that's all.
You can't buy glasses if you don't need them.
Why not?
Because looking smart is the one upside to being blind!
But I have the money, just make a sale.
No! On behalf of all people with sight issues, fuck you! Having sex for us is like always doing it with the lights off! And you want to pretend to be one of us so you can reap the one benefit we have of looking like you actually know what you're talking about!
I'm in a play. I need them for the part.
Oh, so now you're taking jobs away from partially blind people too. Double fuck you.
Oh, forget it. I'm going to watch a movie from the back of the theatre. And then I'm going to go stare at a woman from the opposite side of the train.
Whatever, you four-eyed wannabe.
Rick Perry tried to wear glasses to look smarter during his run for president. What he didn't realise was it wasn't his eyes we had a problem with. Next up tonight, someone wants a child.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Fancy Fetuses. How may I help you?
Hi there. My husband and I are looking to purchase a designer baby.
Did you have anything particular in mind?
Something Gucci, maybe.
Italian? Really? It's so overpriced. No. I recommend the Calvin Klein. It's very popular, and it looks great in a diaper.
Might it be a bit vapid?
Possibly. How about a Rolex baby? It'll be very well engineered, but the downside is it'll probably get stolen.
It's out of our price range anyway. Any others?
Let me have a look on the computer. Ooh, you could get a Tommy Hill figure.
Ooh, yeah. I always wanted to look like I can sail.
One downside is everyone will think your kid's a massive racist.
That won't do then.
All right. How about the True Religion baby?
No. Just no.
Oh, okay. How about the Lululemon? It's active. It's emotionally balanced.
The catch?
It's really, really boring.
Come on!
Okay. How about the Dr. Martin? It's tough. It's stylish.
But
after a while, it starts to smell.
No.
Fine. Let me see. How about the American Eagle? It's casual. It's comfortable. One downside is it's covered in unnecessarily large graphics. You're basically a human billboard.
There must be one decent option.
You could just have a normal child.
Don't be ridiculous. If we're going to invest 20 years of our lives in a human, it had better be a good one.
But aren't you both good people?
Good?
Fine. If you insist. Look, just take this one.
What is it?
It's perfect. It's a H&M. It's generic, it's inoffensive, and it's cheap.
Our perfect child!
I wish I was a designer baby. Perhaps then maybe my parents wouldn't have sold me. It's an awkward thing to happen at 13. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back. Alright, Carl. I've got a plan. Grab a shovel.
Hang on. I'm not being tricked into picking up your dog's poo out the garden again.
I don't have a dog.
What?
Never mind that. I've got a real plan. We are going grave robbing.
Who are we going to sell a grave to? I don't know anyone who's dead.
It's what's inside we want.
What, maggots?
No. Jewellery. Heirlooms.
What about zombies?
That is a chance we're just going to have to take.
This is really hard work.
Well, I didn't know the gate was locked. We'll be under the wall soon.
Which one should we try?
Look for an expensive-looking headstone.
This one looks pretty good. It's got a rich-looking bearded guy on it.
That's Jesus, Carl.
I bet he's got some good heirlooms with him.
Shut up. Just, look, let's do this one. He was dead at 65, unmarried, he must have loads of money. Start digging.
You do it.
But then who's going to be the lookout?
Fair enough. I got a stitch sale. Please, let me have a rest.
Already? You barely dug a molehill.
I'm knackered from digging under that wall. You do it, you lazy bastard.
Fine, give it here. I don't know what you're complaining about. This is easy. You are the laziest git I have ever had the Oh, God, I think I'm going to be sick. Oh, forget it. I didn't get in a crime to work hard. Don't rob graves, kids. Rob banks. Much more sanitary. Next up tonight is a writer's Q&A.
Good evening and welcome to the Writers Off the Record, where nothing is admissible in court. Tonight's panel consists of legendary playwright and the bane of high school students everywhere, promoting his new play, Much Ado About Fuck All, it's William Shakespeare! Our second author is equally held in contempt by school children and is just as unfunny, it's Charles Dickens! Our third author tonight is the one and only... That can't be right.
Jane Austen canceled. She's gone back to rehab.
Oh, right. Wasn't anyone else available?
I tried, but Salinger wasn't interested. He just kept calling us all a bunch of phonies.
Couldn't we have just left the chair empty?
Now I think about it, yeah. That would have worked.
Our third guest tonight is David Spade. Okay, our first question, please. Yes, you in the large ruffle.
Hi, my question is for Mr. Shakespeare. Do you fear the name of the Scottish play?
You mean Macbeth? No, you see, I'm a writer, not an idiot.
Next, you, the short ass with the crutches.
Hi, my question is for Mr. Dickens. Do you think A Christmas Carol help change how people think about the poor?
It would have done if the rich weren't too busy making money to read it.
Next question. You with the toga and a knife in your back.
Ciao. My question is for Shakespeare. Don't you think Brutus is a bastard?
Well, I portrayed him as a complex and misguided character. I mean, you know, he was manipulated by Cassius into betraying his friend Caesar.
So you agree? He's a dickhead.
Caesar, I'm standing right here, dude.
Shut it, Judas!
It's pronounced Brutus.
Next question. You wearing the rags and holding a gruel bowl.
Hi, my question is for Mr. Dickens. Did you enjoy the musical adaptation of your book, Oliver?
Oh, yes. That's what I thought a story about 19th century poverty needed. More dancing.
Next question. Can we have someone with a question for David Spade, please? No? Nothing? Nobody? Okay, moving on. You who looks like you're smelling a fart.
Oh, actually, that's my fault. Sorry.
Hi, my question is for Mr. Dickens. What is your favorite book you have ever written?
I'm not really sure. I don't really like reading.
Next, you with the arm fat. Oh, hang on. That's just my reflection. You, the gentleman with the unibrow.
Hi, my question is for William Shakespeare. Is theater dead? Everything nowadays just seems like garbage compared to you.
Well, thank you very much for being such a suck-up. But no, the answer's no. Every art form has its brilliance and its bollocks. And usually more of the latter, unfortunately. But that shouldn't dissuade you. I might have been killing it at the Globe Theatre, but at the same time, down the road, I was being outsold by assholes singing show tunes 7 nights a week. Art isn't dead. It's just rare.
That's all the time we have. Thank you to our panelists for coming. I apologize again for the inclusion of David Spade. My assistant will be promptly fired or shot. Good night to you all.
Apologies to Mr. Spade. It's not your fault. It's your parents. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back.
Good evening, Elvis, and welcome back, Dolly. How was your vacation?
I was on tour with Kenny Rogers and Kenny Chesney, so it was just awful.
Well, we are glad to have you back. We need you to assist Elvis in mopping up his mess from last week.
Well, that's shocking.
I know. How could someone this handsome make a mistake?
Shut the hell up, Elvis. Your mission this week is to free Rasputin from Russian prison deep in the Siberian wilderness.
We gotta get him out of the gulag?
That's correct.
The gulag? Isn't that a strip bar in Reno?
Probably. It's also what we call the prison labor camps in Russia. These are dark and scary places.
So is that strip bar in Reno.
You will approach the camp by sled dogs, scale the wall, and rescue Rasputin from his solitary confinement.
Sounds like a plan, Stan.
My name is Stuart.
Oh my god, there's two Elvises in here. Here we are, Elvis. Let's saddle up these puppies.
What? You want help with your bra?
The sled dogs, Elvis.
They need help with their bra?
Just stand over there. Yeah, yeah, oh, doggies.
You're pretty good at this.
This isn't the first time I've whipped a bunch of men.
What?
How do you think I got my first recording contract? Those boys at EMI are a sick bunch, let me tell you.
You have no idea what Sony made me do.
Well, this is the wall. Rasputin should be on the other side.
All right, well, pass me the winch.
You have it.
No, I brought the Desert Eagle, the knife, and the tuna sandwiches. You're in charge of the winch, the map, and the fruit roll-ups.
Well, how are we going to get over it now?
Stand back. I will use my mighty stature to blow it away. Hey-ya! Oh, God, I think I broke my wrist. Why is my hand facing the wrong way?
Oh, you idiot, stand back. I'm going to do this the quick way. I'll just plant this C4 and run!
Oh!
Rasputin?
Hello?
Are you okay?
I think I just wet myself.
Well, we're here to save you, darling.
Who's we?
Me and Elvis.
Oh, forget it! I'm safer in here than with him!
Oh, don't be so butthurt, Raspy.
Don't call me that!
Whatever, dude. You want to sit here in wet pants freezing to death? Or you want to come on a sleigh ride to freedom? We got fruit roll-ups.
Fine, let's go. If we leave now, we can still catch the last 10 minutes of Family Feudal.
Well done, Elvis and Dolly. You saved one soul. Shame you couldn't have helped the other thousands of prisoners, but whatever. Next up tonight, the Ordinary Gentlemen are back.
I need a date.
Feeling backed up, are you? Do you want some of my prune juice?
No, a date. With a woman, preferably.
Why don't we try that speed date thing?
No more drugs, Steve.
No, it's where you go on a bunch of short dates, and then you pick people you'd like to see again. And they match you with people who said they'd also like to see your ugly face again.
That sounds like a time saver.
And money. You don't even have to buy them a drink.
Won't they all be a bit young for us?
No, this is a seniors one. It's full of lonely women in need of company and a bit of rumpy bumpy.
Oh, I'm in.
What about Gladys?
Oh, I'm down.
But don't you like men?
No, I'm a woman who was born in a man's body, but is a woman, and I still like women.
So, does that make you a lesbian?
I don't know. I get confused myself.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you have 5 minutes for each interaction. Make a count, as that does include the time it takes you to sit down.
Hello, my name is Errol.
Hello, Errol, my name's Alice, or at least that's what the nurse tells me.
Do you have any hobbies?
These days, mainly staring out of windows, walking slowly, and crack.
Crack?
Well, I used to enjoy cocaine, but I can't afford it. Not on my pension, so I had to switch to crack. I switched to margarine, too.
Hello, I'm Steve.
Hi, I'm
Wait, what are you doing here, Steve? You said you were going to the pub!
And you said you were going to bingo, you cheating slapper!
Says you, coming to pick up some tardy trollop!
Hang on, who's watching the grandkids?
Chips!
Hello, I'm Ken. I'm 57, and I'm a millionaire investment banker.
Hello, I'm Deirdre, and I work in the chippy.
Oh, I probably could have started smaller then. I have an electric fire in my living room with three settings.
I'm putting a tick next to your name.
Hello, I'm Gladys. I'm 75 and I used to be a geography teacher.
Hi, my name is Betty and I'm really short-sighted.
Nice to meet you. So what do you do?
I mainly enjoy complaining, but I also enjoy driving in the country. But lately that also involves crashing in the country.
Well, I drive. We could do that together.
Wonderful. And might I say, that is an unusual scent you have for a man. It's lavender, jasmine, and a hint of body odor.
That's a great nose you've got there. Yes, I refuse to be bound by gender stereotypes.
That is wonderful. I always wanted a man in touch with his feminine side.
You have no idea.
So how did we get on, lads?
I got one number and a slap in the face from me wife.
I got two numbers and a restraining order.
What did you say?
No, it's not against me. It's against that crackhead Alice.
What?
It's a long story. Ken, how about you?
Three numbers. And I only lied to one of them.
Not bad. And Gladys, how did you do?
No need to be embarrassed.
I got 24.
How? There was only 18 women here.
Some of them gave me their friends' numbers too. Speed dating isn't for me. I prefer sitting alone at home. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, Caitlin Docking, Ashley Fallis, Dor Tabby, Dottie Davis, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Alright, there you go. That was a very, very special White Noise. That was the best of from the last sort of 10 episodes. Coming up right away is, of course, the White Noise After Show with myself, Simon Welton, and this week's special guests, Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley. Hey, guys.
Hello to you, Simon.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Did you enjoy our best of?
I take exception to the fact that I'm still considered a special guest.
I'm always doing it just because it's funny now. I'm just going to keep calling you the special guest.
Yeah, I can hear that in your voice.
Just to know that I could replace you at any point. Yeah. We could have a different special guest next week.
Our very special guest for tonight.
It's Rainbow Jeremy.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, we are going to play one song. Give everyone a chance to go to the bathroom, and then we'll be back with some chit-chat. So our first track tonight is this brand new CD in the radio station, and it is bloody brilliant. This is a new Canadian band. This is Traces, and this is Can't Last. I hope it's not a sexual problem.
Thank you.
Become a part of a movement to think beyond conventional boundaries. The third annual AUS Humanities and Social Sciences Conference, happening on January 16th, invites all undergraduate students to submit their research related to this year's theme of innovation. At this year's conference, you will be inspired by your fellow students' presentations and ideas. Applications are being accepted until December 16th. For more information, please visit the events on the AUS Facebook page.
All right, so I'm in the studio. My name is Simon Welton, and I'm in with Sierra Wiley and Connor Necklepot.
Do you have a middle name?
I do, yeah. Our family has a terrible middle name story, and this is unintentional, but my eldest brother is called Robert Paul Mason Brown, because he's got a different name.
The Reverend Robert Paul Mason Brown.
He sounds like it, doesn't he? And then my second eldest brother is Joseph Simon Welton, and then I am Simon Oliver Welton.
I think I've heard this.
And my
this
little brother
joke.
Is Oliver Edward Welton, and we had a dog called Teddy. At one point, I'm like, how unoriginal are you, parents? But apparently, they didn't even realize they'd done that.
No.
You're kidding me.
Until they
There's
like.
So, no way.
Yeah, no. What
they
happened?
Just accidentally named a child after their other child's middle name.
Well, apparently, what happened was it was one of those where each time a kid was born, the other one won the argument about what to call it because the last one had the say on the last child. So.
But the loser on the first child automatically got the middle name of the first child, which meant that the winner for the second child. Had already got the middle name for the first child anyway, so then that just...
Yeah, I know, it's just stupid. And my dad's middle name's Simon, which is why I'm called Simon, so...
You got really creative with those names.
And they're all Bible names.
The fact that you name someone after the part of someone that's, like, almost non-existent. It's like the middle name that you rarely, no one ever uses. It's only on, like important documents. Oh, I love you so much. I'm going to name the child. After the name you never use.
Yeah. He'll take better care of it.
Hey there, Big Daddy.
What? That's not mine.
That's
name.
The name you only ever use in the bedroom. According to some people.
Well, I'd check your sources.
You told me that, didn't you, Simon?
No, I'd check your sources.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was you.
No.
Mr. Big Daddy. Simon,
it's
the Big Daddy.
Okay, fine. It is Mr.
Really
Big
tall.
Daddy. You said Big Daddy.
Sorry.
And I wasn't. No, it's
Sorry.
Mr. Big Daddy.
Senor Big Daddy.
Only when I'm on holiday.
It's Blackmore's official name. Only for passports.
Yeah, sure. All right, why don't we talk about some real stuff? okay, so of course, we can't ignore this week. The big thing, of course, was Donald Trump and his new plan. To stem the flow of ISIS supporters into America as if they're all gagging to get there. His plan is to basically not allow any more Muslims in. So he's going to try and ban 1 billion people. So, guys...
Sorry, actually, can you go back? I'm actually familiar with the term Donald Trump.
Okay, you want me to explain Donald Trump?
I can't say that it rings any bells.
In five words or less.
Okay, pig in a wig, twat.
I think I've got a good
really
image. All right.
Sums it up.
Yeah. I think that's the best description I can give in five words. So he has this great plan. And apparently the way he would enforce this is by just asking people at the border if they're Muslim. And then, of course, they'll just say yes. And then you say, all right, well, you can't come in. And that is the inside of Donald Trump's plan. What do you guys think?
I love his trust and honesty. I think that actually is very refreshing and can help to drive the nation forward.
Well, I think it's easy to trust everyone when you're a massive liar. I just think that he does, you know, he's so conceited that he thinks everyone else would maybe tell the truth. Except no, because he hates everyone, so he thinks everyone's an arsehole, so that doesn't make any sense.
I
think he's just retarded. That's the only thing I can come to, because it makes no sense. Even if you had a valid reason to do it, you couldn't do it. That's the thing. So why say it in the first place, except because you are an asshole?
Isn't it all because it's a huge satire on the Republican Party?
I would love it.
If that was the case, wouldn't that be the best?
Well, the best news today was he said, yeah, I might run as an independent, which we're hoping, please do, because if he does, he's not going to steal votes from Hillary. He's going to steal votes for whichever moron they put on the Republican
ticket.
Wait,
but is he going to steal votes from Hillary as a Republican?
But that's what we were worried about with the Canadian election, that they would
split
the
vote. Donald Trump was
going to
steal votes.
Yeah, but that's what... Yeah, but it didn't because everyone... There was a lot... There was arguably strategically voting for the Liberals. But what you're going to see here is a split on the right. And, you know, even if he takes 10% away... They will not win the election. Clinton will. So, yeah.
What if he's being funded by the Democrats as like a Trojan horse? That would be an amazing story. I mean, a tremendous waste of money, but I think that'd be a great story.
Well, not if it wins the election. It would be genius. Karl Rove would stand up and clap them. That's what would happen if that came out. He'd be like, "I tip my hat to you, sir."
Do you think
something dark side? You know.
Can you just imagine a president that any 10-year-old could out debate? Like, I just can't even.
Oh. No. We cannot say he's a bad debater.
No,
he's
a master
twist
debater.
And make well that I'm sure he is. We've already established he's a wanker.
Quality of the information, though. I mean, even just consistency in his bigotry, right? I mean, it's policy towards Mexicans versus policy towards Muslims, and it's just completely different. Both racist and
hey, if he's for
bigoted,
like more tacos, I'm firmly behind that.
Yeah, no, he's just a misinformed and very wealthy man who's funding his own parade. And I don't know, it'd be
which
interesting.
Makes it all
we're
more
just jealous.
Funny.
We wish we could do that.
No, because who wants to? Who's an intelligent person would really want to get probably one of the worst jobs in the world because you're hated whatever you do as president or prime minister by a lot of people. And it's very hard to get things done in the system. And maybe, yes, we shouldn't be so cynical, but I don't know, man. It's not a job that most sane people would ask for.
I don't know. Trudeau looks very happy on the cover of Vogue.
Yeah, he wears a lot of makeup. Who knows? Who knows what he's really thinking? Could be crying inside right now. Daddy, why? Why didn't you tell me what it was really like?
I realized being the Prime Minister would make my hair go grey. Why, Obama? Why?
It doesn't have the same lift as it used to.
I love how you opened one Coast Guard station in Kitsilano and proceeded to do like jack shit since then.
He's only been in there 10 minutes.
Yeah,
in the first 3 seconds, he reopened or supposedly reopened like a lifeguard station or a Coast Guard station in Kitsilano, which is nothing to do with like where he's from or anything. That wasn't even like back in Quebec or Ottawa. And then since then, he's gone on Vogue.
Yeah, but did you not hear they had the speech in the House of Commons, which was basically laid out a bunch of things they wanted to do, and it was pretty awesome. Everything on there, I was like, yeah, let's do that. It was, yeah, so...
Did he try to stop bombing ISIS? Because he hasn't done that yet.
No, it was, it was something about protecting domestic violence victims.
They're launching an inquiry. They announced that today. That was pretty big news.
For the
murdered and missing.
Yeah, for the women.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
On what do they call it? The Highway of Tears, I believe.
Was that American or was that generic or generally North American? The Trail of Tears was definitely, I think, an American thing. Maybe.
Well, no, yeah, the
very different.
Yeah, no, but they specifically call this highway where a lot of sex workers have gone missing, and a lot of them are Aboriginal as well, in particular. I've gone missing and there hasn't been any real follow-up. That's what the inquiry is about. So that's good news. I don't know. but yeah, so we're all in agreement then. Donald Trump is a moron.
No, he's a genius. He's a satirical genius. And I will stick by that claim till I'm proven otherwise.
Well, there was actually a great bit last night on, I think it was Larry Wilmore, which basically pointed out that he keeps saying a lot of things that sound like he wants to have sex with his daughter.
Oh, that's been going on for a while.
Yeah, Ivana Trump, who is not bad looking, but it's amazing. He said, if I wasn't married and she wasn't my daughter, I would have sex with her.
Yeah, it was something. She has the agreeable body type where I think a man would enjoy that.
Yeah, like, you're like, what, you know, if he's willing to say those things out loud, what is he saying in his head that he's not telling anyone else.
Well, that's
else.
What I think the magic thing is. There is no difference between what he says in his head and what comes out.
That I like that. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Everything he's thinking is being said out loud.
Okay. So maybe he's not as bad as we think then. Because, I mean, I'm sure...
We've all thought dumb stuff.
Yeah, we thought worse things. Yeah, no. So maybe... and maybe that's it. Maybe that's the appeal. Is it's all these people going, oh my God, I've thought that. And I'm a bigot. But... he's allowed to say it out loud. So that, yeah, should get on that. That's pretty terrifying. Hopefully you're not one of those people. If you are, you should probably go to hell. This is another song. This is Rattlesnake Choir, Down For You.
Sunset on a cold afternoon. Ella said you'd be coming home soon. A hot plate and a peek at the moon. An outsized fridge in your room. This street's got some old memories. Dust and the trees. It's not as quiet as it used to be, and it don't feel the same to me. I'm gonna be down.
Second Wednesday of the month from 6 to 9 is Women and Queer Night at the Bike Kitchen. Bring your bike and give it some love in this safe and positive space for anyone who identifies as female or queer. Come learn how to fix your own bike with the help of a female or queer-identified mechanic and volunteers. Plus, there's free pizza. Visit bikecoop.ca for more information.
All right, there we go. That was Rattlesnake Choir with Down For You. See, so it wasn't so bad, was it? We were talking about going a bit country. That one was a bit more folky. They did, I don't know. They're the ones
it was
a bit twangy.
Almost, it had a bit of funk in it, almost.
Yeah.
But yeah, folksy. Funk.
That's the good country, you know, the stuff that's as least country as possible.
Yeah. Bleached country.
So, electro music?
That's, yeah. Stupid electro music. I remember when that was fringe and, you know, good music was more mainstream.
I feel like you're the kind of guy who misses the days where electronic music was always coming by ecstasy.
What? No, no. I think I'd be better off in the 60s and 70s with my musical taste.
Where folk was accompanied by ecstasy.
I think those were pre-ecstasy days, actually. It was more acid and weed.
Free the
nipple. You know, the safe ones.
Please tell us about your personal experience with drugs in the 60s and 70s.
No, moving on.
Has anyone ever come to your house and gone, may I talk to you? May I introduce you to the Redeemer? Acid. And then, you've had a tab.
You can tell Connor's had so much experience with drugs. all right.
May
so,
I speak to you about the world's holiest joint?
What? What are you talking about?
Well, you just mentioned acid and marijuana, so.
You thought you'd talk out your ass. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. So, Sierra. all right, so, you know, so what were you talking about just then? You were saying,
what if 2015 do we really want to leave behind? Of any shit we've had to put up this year, what is the most excited we are?
ISIS? I don't know. What do you mean? Like, thing, or just something like you're glad it's over?
Or just something stupid, or just something cultural.
Do you have anything in mind?
ISIS is a good one. I think I like that idea.
Yeah. No, I'm an ISIS. That was a bit of a no-brainer. But any others that spring to mind then? No? Connor?
Weird Vine-like videos.
It comes
with text on it. On the top, like, cuts off half of the video anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I honestly feel like
the quality
I could
of
do
web
without
content.
Social media altogether now. I just want news
and email
and like in you know real medium, real actual nicely produced quality entertainment with sustenance in it. I don't want to see any more videos of children or animals or people hurting themselves or animals hurting themselves or animals hurting themselves on people. Like
or
I don't want any
animals.
Of that. Or just other weird stuff that's kind of racist and is pretending not to. Like just enough of it all. I've not had one. There's not one thing that I've seen on there that I actually think, oh no, if I hadn't seen that, my life wouldn't be the same.
I just really like for when I'm, you know, aimlessly scrolling through apps on my phone not to feel so empty inside afterwards seeing
yeah,
the shit
well,
content.
There's so much good content out there, you know.
Exactly.
Like, there's, you know, I mean, people, I don't know why people shit on Netflix. Mainly because they probably don't know how to use it.
Wait,
because
who shits on Netflix?
People are like, oh, there's nothing on there. I'm like, that's because you don't know how to use it because you have to actually rate things to your taste and then it tells you because it's got a mad algorithm in it that actually does quite work quite well unless it's a Netflix made show and they lie and just say they're all brilliant, but generally it's pretty honest and you can only watch shit you actually like. Then if you just watch shit that's 5-star every single time, you're blown away because it's exactly what you're into. So really to watch bad content is insane and a waste of precious life.
It's a good way to find new shows to watch without having to talk to people.
Yeah, or take the opinion of someone who isn't you, because they're not you.
Exactly. They
don't like the
but
same thing.
If we follow this thought,
you only
through.
Know them because you live near them. That's like the most likely thing
that
tells you if you know
someone. But if you're
friends
with people who you live near, then who are you friends with?
The people online.
Which some is specifically just banned from the world because they post videos of monkeys beating up children or whatever.
My point is that the people that you know aren't necessarily your perfect companions, you know, in part because it's just you have to live in the same area to know each other in the first place. So,
that's some food for thought. The rise of internet friends.
You see, well, we've gone over this before, the whole dating online thing. It doesn't work for me because I read the profiles and I'll find one thing that I'm like, fuck no, never, no chance. Country music, done. Forget it.
At least you know it.
Yoga, she wants to talk about veganism. She'll never shut up about it. I mean, some of them will, but
some of them.
They're so rare.
I've decided to go vegan this week and I'm judging myself for it.
Oh god, she doesn't shut up about it.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. She's actually pretty modest with it. She just glares at me when I had a burger at A&W some minute ago.
Do you make sort of dirty noises while you eat it?
Well, I tend to go rah 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 rah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good meat eating sound.
Yeah. Rah rah nom 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 fries.
And she's there eating her veg. Sort of how it
yeah,
goes.
It's usually we get looks. I'll say that much.
Well, yeah, but that's because you touch each other under the table. That's nothing to do with how you
that.
Eat.
How did you know?
That was the baseball players next
I've had
to
dinner
us.
With you guys before.
But I thought I was touching you.
Well, that was the thing. I sat in her place and I thought you'd made a mistake, but then you didn't stop.
And
so.
I thought I was playing footsie with Simon.
That explains a lot. That explains a lot.
Wait, so you my dad or what?
No.
Okay, good.
Okay, I think we should play another song. We're going to play something from Autumn Still, which is another spectacular new band we've got in, and this is Lines.
Timeless Media Incorporated presents Time Bomb, performing on December 10th at the Fortune Sound Club to promote his new album, Chuch. Time Bomb's explosive introduction into the music scene will be underway at one of Vancouver's most electrifying hip-hop shows ever, with guest performances from Waka Flocka Brick Squad's own YG Hootie, Larry June, SD from Chief Keef's GBE, and Ill Chris. This will be a night to remember. Doors open at 9 p.m. The show is 19 plus, and tickets are available online at fortunesoundclub.com.
I hope you're not too excited about that, because that's already happened tonight.
It was amazing. I listened to that, and I thought, what a great time. I just didn't have.
Yeah, I'm sure you loved it. All right, so our next question going on is something for all of us. We're all in university, so the big question is, what's the most embarrassing thing you've done since you were in university? Sierra.
All right, well, I'm the type of person in class. I'm not embarrassed to ask a lot of questions, just kind of something I do. Anyway, my econ prof this term has realized this. She knows me by my first name, points me out, sees the look of confusion on my face when we're showing this certain graph, and she goes, Sierra, you look confused. Do you want to ask a question? I just shake my head. She's like, no, nothing, nothing. Are you sure you don't want to ask anything? Turning more and more red.
Are you sure?
Whole class of 150 people just looking at me. She's like,
people next to you going, are you sure? Are you sure?
Nothing today? Nope, nothing today, Sierra. All right, we'll move on. Definitely knows me.
So we had a group, a guy in our class who just like actually like nearly freaked out a teacher because he just kept asking so many questions and they're really off topic. And then he would just heckle her as well at points. And she was like standing in for our regular teacher. And,
oh no, not a substitute.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was bad. It was bad. like, yeah, no. So be careful with that one.
How was that embarrassing for you?
Oh no, no. I'm just saying. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was gonna say his name. And I'm like, no, I shouldn't. That's mean.
To protect the innocent.
Yeah, I shouldn't slander. I'd say my most embarrassing moment actually was in class. You know, as it's my major, it's a bit embarrassing to mispronounce something in philosophy class, which was, I was meant to, trying to say utilitarian, and I said utilitarianism, and the teacher like corrected me in front of the entire 120 people.
He really likes the Yuletide joy that comes along with, yeah, December.
I'm like, I'm not dyslexic, I'm just stoned. I'm apologize, but yeah, that was pretty embarrassing. Connor, do you have anything?
Yeah, so I can't remember if I'd just been getting to know Sierra, or we just started dating maybe first year.
Oh no,
this is about 2 years ago now. Actually, yeah, about 2 years, maybe in like October, November, I think. And so we were in first year, and we had agreed to meet up, I think, to study in the commons area, like sort of social area. So I walk in and I see she's already there. I go, oh great, she's over there. She's at my couch. She's kind of far down the way. I'm like, cool. So I walk over, stroll over, go like, oh, her laptop looks a bit different. Do you need a laptop? Huh, cool, whatever, nice. So then I kind of like lean over the back of the couch because it sort of juts out into the open space. And I go, and I don't say anything. I just kind of like lean there and I look at like what homework she's doing on her laptop. She turns around. It's a guy.
It's a guy, it's not even another girl. Oh,
wait, are you serious? I thought it was a girl when you've told this story.
To which my response was, to which his response was, hey, and my response was, hey. And then I very quietly picked up my arms, put them by my side, and walked into the corner.
Wow, and that guy thought that he just got hit on by a gay man. Well done.
That or he was being maliciously stalked, and he just about saved his life. I was glaring rather, I don't know, Sierra, say something.
You're just creeping on this poor man. All right. Well.
I'm just shocked that it was a man. I think that's I'm pretty sure it was a woman the last time.
That was a pretty good one. Well, yeah. Maybe was he trying to save your feelings, Sierra? That's. I don't mean to be mean, but I just. I don't know. That's...
I don't know. You'd have to have pretty long hair as a man to make a.
Well, you know, if it was a bit more scruffy, you kind of do have the same hair as that one dude from Workaholics.
Oh no, it was right after you shaved your head, Sierra. That was it. That was.
Oh right. It's just grown 2 feet in the past year and a half.
Isn't that what hair does?
Naturally.
Not that quick.
Do you know that fingernails are actually just hair?
There was actually
not.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So they go, yeah. Fingernails, nails are actually just like hyper-compressed
hair. They're similar. They're not the same thing.
I mean, it's not as if your head hair is now appearing from
your
neck.
That's like saying everything's made of cells. Yes, yes, it's sort of similar.
Except
but
it's totally
fucking
different. Your skin isn't made of hair. Has hair come out of it, depending on if you're
I don't know. I think this is a stretch. I don't know. I think people need to spend their time on better things and working out whether.
Did you know that a rhinoceros's horn is made out of the same material, which means that it's actually just made of hyper-condensed hair?
Great. Oh man,
we know why he's studying arts. Let's just put it this way.
Yeah, but
guys, this is interesting stuff.
No, it's
real
not.
Biology.
It's
with
so
Connor
irrelevant
Neckerfoot.
To anything I will ever do.
But now think about that. Think about those people who go and poach rhinoceroses and like saw off their horns.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're only getting hair.
We're not growing ivory out of our fingers.
Okay, so this is your pro-ivory hunting explanation.
No, I'm saying like, what the hell are they doing if they're only getting hair? Like, stop.
Ivory is not made of hair, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Ivory is what elephants have. It's different. No one says a rhinoceros' horns aren't made of ivory.
What do you call it then?
I don't know. Hair. No. Don't you know that they essentially have huge afros on their faces?
Oh, dear.
You white Bill afros. Nye, right here on White Noise. I was going to say,
is this like David Attenborough while drunk or something you've been watching?
drunk
in
natural history.
In the Serengeti, there is a bunch of weird hair things.
We brought Carl Pilkington into the studio this week to talk about real science, real nature, real discovery on the show.
No, this is I think Carl Pilkington's cousin who the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck for a little too long. I just meant I was...
My umbilical cord stuck, Simon.
That wasn't a prompt for you to do an impression of a strangled fetus.
Well, the strangled fetus had a very pronounced sort of 20-year-old vocabulary. what are we breeding these days?
I think it's time for a song.
This lesson is change. Don't be afraid to be mistaken, knowing when to call it a day. Now I'm feeling the wine and the whiskey, the beat of our hearts have combined. Trying to breathe slowly and deeply, love without falling is fine. Monogamy, a polyamorous beauty, holding open both palms and reflecting true virtues. She takes you and loves you, knowing nothing is constant. And if that is true, then there's always exceptions. But one thing I know is the woolly's heart is open, and shut down for what was a skeptic at best. Sweat and emotion, love and the pain cannot be rewritten again.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
All right, you're back listening to the White Noise After Show with Simon Welton, Connor Nicholput, and Sierra Wiley. So our last question for the end of the night is, what's the strangest job you've ever had? Sierra?
I used to go door-to-door for a paint shop. Well, not paint shop, a painting service around neighbourhoods in South Vancouver.
Is that that one they try and make you do at universities?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this is the right...
Separately franchised. Yeah.
It's almost like that one that
you sell knives. Was it terrible?
Oh, the worst kind of terrible. Vancouver in the winter, so lots of freezing rain, dark nights, and angry people. So going door to door and trying to explain when I wouldn't want to have my house painted by college kids, but why you should.
Yeah, I mean, I went, they handed out the things in one of our classes for managing like people doing that. Mm-hmm. So I went to one of the meetings, and the guy who runs the meeting, like I have a bunch of, I've been a sales manager before, so he liked my resume. So he is like talking to us, and every now and then he's like the person who he clearly thought based on resumes was least qualified. He'd be like, "All right, you can go now, you can go now," and he'd talk a bit more. And he'd be like, "Okay, and now you can go," and he'd talk a bit more. So it's just me left at
the
very end.
A lot more competitive
end.
Than I remember my.
Wait, so and I was just like, said you guys can go. Like basically said like f off.
Well, he was
off.
Like, "Here's my card," you know, and he just, you know, to make me feel special at the end. And
maybe
I just,
he set it all up as a ploy. They actually paid them off.
Yeah, maybe.
Know?
All I could think at the end was, criminal. "Wow, you're a dick." I was like, "What's? You don't know they're not any better.
You're
more
like, you're
committed.
Exactly who I want to work for."
I'm like, and Jordy said to me, he was like, "Oh man, when
you got
I, when
talent,
I,
kid."
No, worse. He said, "When I leave university, I want to be earning $100,000 in my first job." So what he basically said to me was the only thing he could think about his first job was that he wanted to earn money. That was the most important. He had no concept of actually wanting to do anything he actually enjoyed as long as he earned money. It's like, then go be a prostitute. Like, you're an idiot. Like, you should at least have something in idea
can
of what you want to do.
Can gigolos make that much?
As long as they've got to do gay stuff. You're not going to make that money doing straight.
Depends how long they are.
Straight prostituting.
I don't think there's that demand.
Well, that depends how good you are. You know, Simon word knows. Gets around. You go if you got skills, you can make some money. I'm sure.
Simon lived in Kelowna. You know, he knows how it goes.
He's done the circuit.
Oh dear me. No. Maybe I'm just optimistic, but I assume if you don't have a massive cocaine habit, it's quite actually beneficial. But anyway, so what's your strangest job, Connor?
Well, besides either doing a one-night gig of wine waitering,
That was a weird night.
I didn't know you back then.
Oh, no, we worked a wine desk
that
a
was,
few months
oh,
ago.
Actually, that was terrible. Actually, yeah, that was actually terrible, though. Quick backstory. So that one, actually. So I was working with a company called Social Concierge, and they put on the popular Dîner en Blanc. Event in Vancouver every year, and so I was working with them, and so at the event I actually had to work at one of the token resolution desks. Everyone gets tokens for the food and drink they buy beforehand, and then they get it at the event. They have tokens that they then turn in to represent that they get the food, and so sometimes often there's trouble with some of these things, and so we were sitting there doing our regular thing, people coming up to us, we give them the right stuff, or if they're missing them, whatever. Next to us is the wine station where you give in your token to get your bottle of wine. They didn't have enough wine. And we were sitting right next to them, and so people would come to us and go, "Hey, we didn't get our wine that we ordered. They told us to come over here. Fix it!" And we'd be like, Okay, yeah, just give me a second.
Then you just give them the money back.
Yeah, but it was all done in credit card beforehand. There's no, we don't have any cash to give back.
Paid for online. So
yeah, and this is like we're talking between
and
like
you do not mess with Vancouver
sort of
socialites.
Entry level
get it between
like,
them and their drinks.
Entry level wine, like white red wine to like champagne. Mm. Like there's quite the range here. And people are essentially...
Hang on. They pre-ordered it and they didn't fucking have it.
Well, no, it's not that they didn't have it. It's that it was split over two sides. And I think on one side, there was just less people. And so it got like... What would have been okay for the other people on the other side just wasn't at
okay.
the right place. So.
But hang on. We said Stranger's Job. This just sounds like a rather annoying job.
Actually, that was pretty terrible. Stranger's actually, so I was either wine waitering and winning competition to waiter the most wine with a friend of mine because he eventually spilled a lot of drinks over people and I didn't. Or I went to Indonesia once on a volunteer gig and I taught children basic math in the form of blackjack.
Okay, see, that's more interesting.
Yeah.
Which I do kind of feel terrible about, because I'm quite sure that I've actually raised, nurtured, and fostered Indonesia's latest gambling.
I wouldn't
generation.
Worry about it. I play
Connor's
blackjack.
Greatest I
play
contribution
blackjack
to
with
the
grandma.
World.
Yeah, that's basically what my mark on the world is. Kids will one day, especially not kids, like when they're adults, they'll go, "Yeah, white man from Singapore, English boy, he taught me blackjack. Now I'm in poverty." I'll be like, well, you were already in poverty to begin with, so sorry.
Lisa. I hail you as a hero for bringing him out of poverty.
I'm glad you learned
a very noble means.
Yes, as long as his job doesn't involve counting over 21.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. So he can do a lot. He can actually just host blackjack and then that'll
it's
be
a pretty
fine.
Resourceful way to teach math, I've got to say.
Yeah, also...
You know, if you lack morals.
Gave kids lots of candy.
Yeah, was this
not
a mission?
Sure
didn't you say it was a missionary
either.
Trip?
No, volunteer, not missionary. Okay.
I was going to say, that would make it worse.
I mean, better blackjack than Russian roulette, but...
If you lose blackjack, Satan awaits you.
I don't think if he wins, he's...
If you win blackjack, that's a straight card to heaven.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, because it means...
Jesus loves
God
winners.
God loves winners. God always favours the winner.
It's true.
And to win, just throw a few coins in the coffer of the church and you'll be right on your way.
Or into my well. Either or. I can make your dreams come true, kids.
I think that was exactly the line that Jimmy Savile used as well.
I retract that statement. Please redact it.
Connor will fix it. All right.
Jesus. I have done building, actually. I've done some construction with my uncle.
And for those who don't understand that, just Google Jimmy Savile, and then I apologize.
And then don't imagine my face.
What you see.
Where you, what, with
it's
what
not
you
good.
See, yeah.
It's not good. But he used to be on telly. That's the nice bit.
And Connor used to be on radio.
All right, so my strangest job.
No one asked you.
Yeah, I know. Thanks a lot.
But Sam, what was your strangest
wishes
job?
We did.
No, that's how this works, but whatever. I don't know. I guess... I don't know. I delivered a boat from France to Turkey. That was kind of cool. That was like,
oh, you mentioned it before. Yeah, go on.
That's just exciting. Was it that strange?
Strange. I worked for Nintendo, like demoing Wii's. So I basically stood there all day, just telling kids to keep.
But you love demoing Wii's, Simon.
Keep their strap-ons. Basically, is all I said as they were playing with Wii. Sounds horrible.
You got a lot more out of it than the kids did.
No, it was pretty terrible. We were out like in the parking lot of a superstore, a Canadian superstore, in a tent.
This gets worse and worse
in, like,
with
August
every word you add.
In Kelowna. Yeah, it does sound weird that.
Yeah, you were shirtless.
It was covered in Nintendo stickers. It was fine. We had fake fences and all sorts.
Oh, yeah, just put a corporate logo on it, all the better.
That's basically how it works. Yeah, no, that was probably, I don't know, I'm trying to think of anything stranger that I've done. I haven't mentioned
Think
it.
Back. I'm sure there's
I haven't mentioned anything stranger, have I?
Every day.
Yeah, no, I've had some terrible jobs. I worked at Staples for a month and I quit. That was just awful.
Oh, they're the worst.
What I do right now is kind of weird. I, like, set up trade events. So, like, I've set up, like, sex show, trade shows.
Wait,
and,
sex shows?
Well, like, yeah, it's called Taboo and it's, like, they sell loads of dildos and...
I didn't realize it was
isn't
like
that
it was
just the day-to-day market on Granville Street?
No, that's the underground market on Granville Street.
Yeah. Well, my brother commented on that recently. That he's like, oh, there's always a seedy part of Granville because there's now a strip club there or whatever. And I'm like, well, the seedy's got to be somewhere. You might as well make it central. Like, why would you want to gentrify that area?
I mean, like, it's central, but it's also northern, southern, western, eastern.
Yeah, it's all over the shop.
Vancouver is a cesspool, yay or nay?
No, it's so lovely here, really, isn't it?
Like, it is, and we're in this nice warm studio.
Yeah, we are. All right, have we got anything else to talk about? Any thoughts? Any thoughts you want to say about...
If you had to be a DJ or a producer, what would your stage name be? Or even like a solo singer or a musician, but like solo, not like a band.
I don't know. I'd just be probably my own name.
Well, I mean, you've got Richard Blackmore. You could always be Dick Whiteless.
Jesus.
Dick Whiteless. Sounds like a pimp. I think is what that sounds like. Oh, Dick Whiteless coming on. He's doing.
Don't
mess with
it.
His girls. Don't mess with his girls, man. He'll take you down.
I mean, that's the kind of reputation you want to build for yourself, no?
Dick Whiteless, yeah. It sounds like he's got a problem with his dick. Like, Whiteless doesn't sound like it's doing well.
It's so black, it's Whiteless.
Like, what's Whiteless? Yeah.
What's Blackmore, though?
It's an old name. It's just an old English name is why I chose it. Because he's, you know, he's from Manchester.
So's Lancaster.
And he sounds like he's got black lungs, too. So, you know, Richard Blackmore. That's kind of how I thought it had to sound.
Wait, so that's you?
Oh shit,
Simon, you're breaking the fourth wall here.
Alright, Carl, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Neil, what would your stage name be?
I don't know, man, I'm Elvis. I don't know what you're talking about.
I work at the Chippy.
That wasn't your line, you can't say that. You gotta say your own line, Sierra.
Gee, I don't remember. You know how to play identity this game. Crisis.
Alright, Elvis, this is Agent Lexington. Tonight's mission is you need to come up with a stage name in 5, 4, 3, 2, explosion cue now.
Well, what about if you do that thing where you use the street you were born on as your last name, and then your first name, what's the thing you choose?
Name me a current producer, DJ, or solo artist who's done
favorite
that.
Your favorite candy.
No, your first pet. It's your first pet name and the street you live on, you first lived on.
So Gooby McDollgrove.
See, that works. What's yours?
Jazz Hamlet.
That's not bad.
That's actually not bad. That's actually got a good ring to it, yeah.
Sounds better than Dick Whiteless.
Harvey Gildon Sutton.
I like it.
Double barreled. Oh, yeah.
Not many DJs pull that off these days.
Gildon Sutton coming at you.
You actually have a nice kind of handlebar moustache and some aviator glasses.
I want a pipe, I think, with the handlebar moustache.
A nice long one that you then lean into the crowd and they'd light it for you.
Yeah, and just, you know, usually when they're like, make some noise, I could just be like, cheerio! You know, I think that... Because of the look. The look. He just sounded like someone he'd scream. I don't know.
Cheerio.
Yeah.
He looks like a biker.
While he's DJing. That's his USP, though. He's just like... he's, you know, bringing hip-hop and trance and dance to the middle classes. That's what he's doing. He's not, you know... Because Gildon Sutton is like a middle-class village in Britain, so it works even better. Like it all fits. The middle class beatmaster. All right, I think that's all the time we have for this week.
Middle class beatmaster.
We're not gonna drag this out any longer, I think. So we'll be back next week with the Christmas special. That's right, you heard it here first. There is a Christmas special coming out next week. You'll be amazed this time of year that someone would make a Christmas special, but we're gonna do it.
Don't you mean our non-denominational winter special?
No, it's a Christmas special.
Okay, thank God.
I'm not a Christian, but I want to do a Christmas special.
Celebrate Christmas.
So I'm not going to pretend it's anything else. If I'm not doing it because it's Hanukkah, I'm doing it because this is, you know... And the thing is, let's not finish right now, because let's talk about this for a second. You know, yes, it's called Christmas, and because that is the holiday that we're doing it. I'm not, you know, and that is what it is traditionally. But to me, yeah, it doesn't mean anything to do with Jesus, because I don't believe in that. For me, it's just a day when, if you're lucky, everyone has the day off, you all spend the day together, no one actually has anything to do because nothing's open, so you can't fix it. Even if you have a horrible mess of an issue, it'll have to wait till Boxing Day.
I think emergency services stay open.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though.
And unless, the movie theatre.
That's why I said generally most people have the day off. You know, there are certain things that have to
unless
be open,
Jewish
care homes and stuff like that. But generally, it's a day where if you're lucky, your whole family's there and you can just all, you know, chill out, have a laugh. It's always very funny, at least
around
our house.
So you want a day with your family?
Yeah, I don't hate my family. Do you?
Neither do I, actually.
Yeah.
But I most people tend to.
Well, I don't see them very often now. So it's like, you know, it's like we work this out, me and my brothers. The further you live away from your parents, the more saintly you become. So, like, Ollie, he's in Toronto, so he's a saint right now.
Maybe I'll test that out in the next few months.
Joe Moot just moved back. So when he was there before he left 4 months ago, oh, my God, he was a pain in the ass. But now he left. Oh, he's disciplined now.
He's matured.
He's had 4 months away, so he's going to come back a changed man.
He's on a cruise
give him
ship.
Two,
the prodigal son. Yeah. I swear it's not religious.
Give him 2 months there, and he'll be son number three again. I guarantee it. But yeah,
that's interesting the way that orders work, though, right?
Order.
I've got five siblings, and it changes every year.
Oh yeah. No, we it's an ongoing joke that's not always a joke, I think, where we're like, Premier League right now he is. Yeah.
It's like a Game of Premier Thrones League. For sibling competitions.
Yeah, basically. Alright, I think that is all the time we have. We're gonna leave you with one more song. This is from a band I haven't played before. They're called The Tar Holes. And this is their song Pirate Guy. So I hope you like it. And we'll see you next week for the Christmas special.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.
As far as what he talks, as dumb as what he wants, you gotta pay for a leg. And he's fucked in the head. Pirate guy.
Pirate guy.
Over your eye.
Pirate guy.
Pirate guy.
Pirate guy.
Over your eye. I'll make you walk a plank. What do you have too much to drink?
Pirate guy.
Over your eye.
Pirate guy.
Pirate guy. Over your eye.
Pirate guy.
Over your eye.
On CITR 101.9. UBC represent, connect the dots.
Tune in Sundays from 9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host Doran for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.